The Fan on Demand.
Tennis, anyone? This is Aces with your hosts Roger Lajoie and Tom Tebbett of Tennis Canada. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's Aces on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Roger Lajoie. Tom Tebbett from Tennis Canada is with us and delighted that you're with us here tonight, folks. We are here for the next hour. Reach the show anytime on Twitter. My handle is at the Rog 590, at the Rog 590. Mr. Tebbett is at Tom Tebbett, at Tom Tebbett. Drop us a tweet anytime and keep our email address handy and use that during the show too. Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Because we've got Tom's mailbag, as we always do. So we want your questions. You can start them coming in now. Any question, tennis-related, for Tom Tebbett. He'll answer it. We always have fun with that. And tonight, we have four tickets, two pairs of tickets to the Rogers Cup to give away on this show. J.D. Munkus, our producer, wants them. Sorry, you're disqualified. Derek Brandeo, disqualified. Tom Tebbett, disqualified.
No.
Sorry. That's the rules. So we've got four tickets to the Rogers Cup on Monday night, two separate prizes of two. That comes later in the program. But, folks, we love your questions first, so drop us a question for Tom. We'll read that throughout the course of the show. Later in the program, Nick Volateri in conversation with Tom Tebbett. And in about 10 minutes, Carl Hale, the tournament director of the Rogers Cup, going to join us, Mr. Tebbett. And, hey, man, summers must be flying because the Rogers Cup is next week. Holy smokes.
Well, I'll tell you, after I came back from Wimbledon, we had 2 weeks of, I thought, late September weather. And finally this week, it's summer. So hopefully it stays like this and is almost exactly like this for the whole week up at the Rogers Cup at the Rexall Center.
That's what we want. And as Carl Hale will tell us in a few minutes, lots of unique and exciting and different things coming up this year, folks. So you're really going to enjoy it. Carl will fill us in just a few moments on that. A little bit of breaking news with Jeannie Bouchard not playing this week. What happened there?
That's next week in Washington. I actually was on a train today coming back from Montreal and just saw it tweeted that she wasn't playing, two different sources, and she was going to be the top seed there. And actually there's something quite interesting about that is that she was going to be the top seed in the women, and guess who was going to be the top seed in the men? Milos.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Well, no, but I don't think ever in the history that I can recall
a mixed tournament
with both top seeds being a Canadian.
I think it's pretty safe that's never happened.
So it ain't going to happen this time, unfortunately. I don't know exactly what it is with Eugenia. There is a chance, hopefully, it's just something very minor. And, I mean, the tournament in Montreal, from what people tell me, has just gone bonkers since she got to the final of Wimbledon, and ticket sales are through the roof. So she might just have a hangnail of it. I want to be healthy for Montreal.
Well, you know what? That could be an indication too. And sometimes if anything at all, even minor, it's a strategic decision more than it is an injury decision. So let's not read too much into it. And hopefully everything is okay there, because boy, you're right about that. Or is she ever a marquee person in Montreal? They're going to love her down there. I've always wanted to know, in your estimation, Tom, the differences between Montreal and Toronto. Court-wise, environment for a player. Does it make any difference at all? Because, you know, it is kind of unique. Men here 1 year, women here the next year. Is it ever, is there any kind of an advantage? Is it difficult to do that? Is one facility easier to play? Or, you know what, doesn't make any difference?
I think it just makes a difference in terms of how the players like the cities. And Montreal, for one thing, is a little closer to the center of the city, so that's simpler in terms of transport. Unfortunately, York is a long way away. I think it's next year or the year after the subway goes through.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make a huge difference. That'll be great. So that's one thing with Montreal. The other thing with Montreal, and I'm biased here because I'm from Quebec originally, I think the fans are a little bit more passionate, but I think you've gone to Leaf games and Canadiens games. You know that there's a difference.
I grew up in Montreal. That's a very, very fair thing. Toronto is a fantastic city. It's one of the greatest cities in the world. So is Montreal. They are different, Tom. Toronto, I think, I'll say this as a guy. Toronto, I think, is actually, in some ways, quieter, friendlier than Montreal can be. Montreal is more bon vivant. But both cities in their own way are terrific. But yes, Montreal crowd is different. And the tennis crowd is substantially different than it is in Toronto.
Well, the other thing, I mean, in Toronto's favor, we'll say Montreal fans are pretty fickle. I mean, when they're winning and the Alouettes are doing well and the Canadiens are doing well, they're going. Whereas Toronto, you know, come hell or high water, people are going to be there.
People watch anything. Well, that's because the Toronto Maple Leafs have been around.
No, but I give them credit for being faithful and, you know, sticking with the team. And hopefully at some point in maybe another century or so, they'll be rewarded.
Oh, wow. Tom Tebbett, Roger Lajoie with you. It's Aces. And great to have you with us, folks. Aces is brought to you in part by Tennis Canada, leading the growth of tennis in Canada. And what a job Tennis Canada has done. In about 5-6 minutes, Carl Hill is going to join us, tournament director of the Rogers Cup, and Nick Avolatieri in conversation with our own Tom Tebbett later in the show. And again, Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Questions already coming in. We love the questions. We're going to read them all. I'm going to make sure Tom doesn't talk too much in the show tonight, so we have full time for the mailbag. Please send us a question, and Tom will answer it throughout the course of the program. And our Rogers Cup tickets coming up later in the show as well. Other Canadians we should be talking about heading into the Rogers Cup. And Tom, I'm guilty of this. You're the tennis expert in the house for sure. I enjoy the sport. I follow it. I watch it a lot. The casual person, tennis follower, really doesn't know how many good young Canadian players are around in addition to the big two, if I can call them. They call the men the big three. Well, we have the big two, Jeanne and Milosz and...
And Vasily Pospisil. Actually, just to say a little bit, Frank Dantsevic and Sharon Fitchman have been playing world team tennis the last few weeks, so we haven't seen them in any results. Frank is actually doing not too badly. Sharon's been not too bad. But
where is that world team tennis at? Does anybody watch that stuff? Actually, I didn't even think we're still going.
The only thing is, I've always been very, very cynical about it too, but if you actually go and watch it, it's sort of fun because there's one men's singles, one women's singles, one mixed doubles.
So Philadelphia plays Chicago?
Or they play the Austin Aces, and Andy Roddick plays a few matches for them. And
really?
A few other people. I mean, Hingis has played.
And do the fans get mad and they throw stuff because it's a home team and everything?
Sort of. Actually, I think in the old days, several years ago, you used to be able to throw like a handkerchief on to have a Hawkeye challenge and stuff like that.
Is that right?
So they add little things. And so actually, it's not a bad night's entertainment, but we don't like it, or the purists don't like it, because it takes players away, you know, from legitimate
the
tournament sort of thing.
Of course.
But it's only for, 3 weeks right after Wimbledon. So I think you can kind of...
There's 3 weeks.
Choking here, Roger. I'm choked up.
Look after yourself. Three weeks scheduled. They only play the whole thing for 3 weeks as opposed to having a full schedule. That's what world team tennis is now?
Yeah, but they play almost every night, so they play roughly 15 games or something like that in 20 days.
I got to check that out. Where are the franchises around? Like, I know we're digressing here, but they're still like, they're just anywhere? Like,
well, no,
I'm going to make it a point for our next show. I want to do something on world team tennis.
Well, by then it'll be outdated and we'll know who's won, because I think the semifinals are tonight or tomorrow night.
Holy smokes.
Actually, Frank's team, and you shouldn't, this won't be the quiz tonight, but you know who wrote the theme song for Frank's team, the Philadelphia Freedoms?
Elton John.
Exactly.
Oh, everybody knows that. That's an easy question. We should have used that on trivia. That's how I remember team tennis, actually, was by Philadelphia Freedoms, Billie Jean King back in the day and all that. I didn't even realize the thing was still hanging around. Well, that's interesting. So you mentioned, and of course, Vasek, we got to give some props to him. And a lot of Canadian tennis players are coming up the pipeline here.
Yeah, well, Vasek is actually playing with Jack Sock this week in the tournament in Atlanta. And Vasek won his first round yesterday, didn't play today. We'll play Dudi Sela tomorrow, which is definitely a winnable match. And then I think he could play Kevin Anderson in the semifinals on Saturday. So he made the semifinals last year in Bogota. Last week, he just made the quarters there. So if he can get to the semifinals this week, and of course, even do better, he can, you know, make up for a lot of points. And obviously, he's trying to catch up and cover the points that he'll be losing if he doesn't make it to the semifinals of the Rogers Cup this year. So he's there. And Eugenie was obviously just practicing in Montreal, I assume, and will hopefully be all fine for the start of the Rogers Cup in Montreal, which is actually the first. They play the qualifying, I think, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, a little different.
And then
different.
They start the real tournament. Maybe they start on Sunday with a match or two, but I think actually it's just on Monday.
I guess the scheduling, and Carl will talk, because he's going to join us in a second here, and we'll talk about that. But the scheduling and the pressure on Canadians to perform, especially they get on center court and they're the stars of it, it's really different for them, because Milosz and Jeanne now know it. They've been in the majors, but the rest of the Canadian players, little different environment. All of a sudden, everybody's watching you.
Yeah, well, Vasek last year obviously made the semifinals against Milosz and had some good wins. So, and actually, the quarterfinal, unfortunately, is David Ferrer. I think Ferrer retired after three games or something. So Vasek didn't get much of a shot on the Stade Uniprix for that match. But anyway, no, I think it's great for the players playing at home. They only have a chance to do it once a year and to have the crowd that much behind you. And if you're a guy like Milosz here or Eugenie in Montreal, sleep in your own bed and stuff like that, you know, it's a pretty nomadic life. And the same with Daniel Nestor. If you can sleep in your own bed, even just for 1 week, I think it's really different.
You had some home cooking as well, for sure. That's Tom Tebbit. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's Aces on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We're delighted to be joined now by the tournament director of the Rogers Cup, Carl Hale. Carl, always great to have you on the show. Thanks very much. And we're all excited about the Rogers Cup. Now, are you excited, or are you just frantic here getting ready as we get closer to the start of the tournament?
It's really exciting. You know, today is kicked it off, so to speak. We had Serena Williams practicing with Milos Raonic on center court today, so it got the feeling that the tournament started. All the preparations are in order, and everybody's looking to forward to a fantastic tournament.
Carl, I did hear about Serena practicing, actually, with Milos and Daniel Nestor as well. And we're starting a rumor here that Serena's asked for a wild card into the men's event. Is that true?
No, that's not true. But you know what? Serena is one of the greatest women ever. Who knows? She could probably hold her own if we gave her one.
Did you see any of that going on today?
I didn't. I just, they told me last night that they're in town. She's shooting a movie. And they told me they were going up there to practice, but I was in meetings all day, so I couldn't go out there.
So Roger, Rafa, Nole, and Andy Murray, all set and all booked and definitely going to be here?
Yeah, they're all booked. The really interesting thing is they're all coming in really, really early. Usually they come in, you know, 3-4 days before their match. This year they're coming in essentially a week before, and they're all very meticulous about their preparations, about, you know, their car, their food, their hotel, their practice time. So it looks like, you know, they're over their break and they're back at it as gladiators, and it will be fantastic to watch them battle it out on center court.
You may not want to give away dates, but who's going to be the first one here, Carl?
You know, I think probably Roger will probably be the first one here. Sounds like, you know, with four kids, he probably hasn't had a lot of time to practice. So he's probably going to be the first one here getting some practice in Toronto.
I forget, is it 3 wild cards for the women and 4 for the men, or the reverse?
That's right.
So any news on the wild cards for the men? Or obviously, I think people like Frank Dantsevic and Peter Polansky, who have played Davis Cup, would be eligible, or is that...
Yeah, we haven't confirmed it yet, but definitely Peter and Frank are at the forefront of it. Also, there's Philip Pelliveau, the Wimbledon junior champion from 2 years ago, is going to be somewhere in the mix. I'm not sure if he's going to be a main draw or a qualifying, and several other players. So we're working that out right now. We'll announce it early next week, I believe. And hopefully that, you know, especially Frank and Peter, they've had good success at the Rogers Cup in the past, so they can have some good success going forward.
Carl Hale, tournament director of the Rogers Cup, is with us. Roger Lajoie, Tom Tebbit, Aces here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Carl, you've been around the game of tennis for a lot of years. How has it changed the preparation, the promotion, and everything about the Rogers Cup that now, instead of, and listen, everybody wants to see Roger and Nadal and Serena and Maria Sharapova, but the fact that Canadians are really the hot ticket must change the complexion of this event from your standpoint.
It's absolutely turned it upside down. We've never had players that we could cheer for that could actually win the tournament, with the exception of maybe Helen Kelesi and Carling Bassett in the 80s. But we have the two hottest stars on the WTA and ATP tour. We've penetrated the social fabric of the city. Everybody's talking about tennis. Everybody knows and loves Eugenie and Milos. So ticket sales are reflective of that. We've had record sales for the past 8 weeks. So it's really turned it upside down. And you know what the truth is? The best is yet to come, because these players are so young. We're going to have them for another 10 years. So tennis is in a great position right now.
Carl, I don't know if you can give us any hints, but any rough schedule, who might play when of the big names once the tournament gets underway?
Well, it's really complicated, because some of the guys are going to be playing doubles, some aren't. So that complicates things tremendously. Some players are playing Washington. Milos is playing Washington, Gasquet, Vasek, and some others. So that also complicates things. But we're planning to play Milos on Wednesday night at 6:30. We want to feature him, and we want him to go as deep as possible in the tournament. So that's the only thing we've kind of planned at this point. And then once the draw is made next Friday at Queen's Park, then we'll kind of unravel the rest of the top player schedule.
I always think it's our tournament's in a great position just because the players are coming in fresh here. And, you know, it's a long clay court season and right away into the grass. And now they've had a chance maybe like 3 total weeks to almost not do too much, tune up a little bit, and then one hard week next week before the tournament starts. But it always strikes me that it's really fun to see them come in here because they're still pretty eager.
Yeah, and also this year, like we talked about earlier, Milos has changed the dynamic and the complexion of the top 10. You also have the battle for number one between Djokovic and Nadal. So both of them are vying for that. Nadal's the defending champion, and he's defending a lot of points. So he's going to have to fight hard to maintain that. Roger is kind of back in the mix now, getting to the final to Wimbledon. So he wants to move, you know, maybe into the top 4 seeds going into the U.S. Open. So this tournament's important for him. So there's a lot of kind of subplots here that are really important that make this tournament so special and competitive.
And another factor too, Carl, I got to believe, and no disrespect to the women's side of the game, because there are some great players. And listen, I mean, Serena, Sharapova, and Jeannie, you know, you have your marquee stars, but when you've got the big four and Milos, I mean, there are so many intriguing and fantastic possibilities, because everybody wants to go to the semifinals or finals. You mentioned you want Milos to go deep in the tournament, but at the end of the day, if something unfortunate happens, you sure got a lot of fallback on the men's side. I mean, these are legendary players that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, I mean, even Vasek. Last year, he got to the semifinals, so Vasek is finally confident right now after a long time with injury. He's doing well this week in Atlanta, so he could even go deep. And you have all the other players. You have the Berdichs. You have the young stars, Nishikori and Dimitrov. There's so many players in the men's game that can go deep, and so many young players that everybody's really, really excited to see it unfold, just like we saw at Wimbledon.
Carl, I heard that Nick Kyrgios, who beat Rafael Nadal, played a fantastic match, ultimately lost to Milos, I think, in the quarters at Wimbledon. I think he's in the qualifying here. If he's in the qualifying here, there must be some other interesting players in the qualifying as well.
Yeah, our qualifying, you know, our cutoff for the main draw is 44, and the qualifying, I believe, is around 100. So I like to tell people, you know, they talk about the Grand Slams, and I tell them that our tournament's tougher than a Grand Slam, you know, because players that are in our qualifying don't even get into the main draw of a Grand Slam. So it's a really, really deep tournament. There's players from everywhere. And if you come out on Saturday and Sunday, it's a free family weekend with Pizzaville sponsoring it. So you can watch some of these top players that would be in main draws of Grand Slams. You know, like Nick got to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. So he potentially is in the qualifying. So it's a great event and a great weekend for people to come out.
Carl Hale, Tournament Director of the Rogers Cup, with us, Roger Lajoie, Tom Tebbit. Aces on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, your questions for Tom, please send them at Roger at Sportsnet590.ca. Tom will answer your questions a little later. Nick Volateri with Tom in conversation later in the show as well. And your chance to win tickets to the Rogers Cup, and boy, it is a great event. Carl, let's talk a little bit about the surrounding events in addition to the tennis. I'm a big fan. I've been to many Rogers Cups, and a lot of our audience has. But for people who haven't or haven't been up there recently, and I know you've got new stuff planned this year, it isn't just about tennis on center court. There's so much else to do down there.
Yeah, well, we kick off the event. We have the greatest athletes in the world with Nadal, Djokovic, Milos, Murray, et cetera. And then we have some amazing activations on site as well. So the first weekend, August 2nd and 3rd, is the Pizzaville Community Weekend, where we have a ball hockey game on August 3rd with some of the NHL stars. Jason Spezza is confirmed. I'm actually going to Smash Fest tonight, which is Dominic Moore's event, to meet some of the other players to invite them. And Roger Federer is confirmed to play in that event, so people can watch Roger play hockey with the NHL stars on Sunday, August 3rd.
Wow.
Then we have the theme this year is the art of tennis. So on Tuesday night, we have the Bryan brothers. They're going to be playing in their band with American Idol finalist Michael John, so you can watch them perform. We have art battles on the grounds where some of the players are going to be coached by different artists, and they're going to be painting. I'm not sure if it's paint by numbers or what, or a stick person they're going to paint, but they're going to do their best job. So we have that, and we have different wire sculptures around the grounds. We had somebody from HGTV design the grounds to make it more artistic and intimate. The retail area has been improved. So there's just so many activations on the grounds that, you know, if you come with a family, you can spend 5-6 hours, watch some tennis, enjoy the surroundings and be engaged in different activities for your whole family.
I'm sorry, I can't get over that Roger Federer is going to play ball hockey against Jason Spezza.
Yeah,
that's a highlight.
That'll be really exciting. It'll be Roger's a huge hockey fan. Years ago, we had Sidney Crosby came up, and they were going to play tennis together, but unfortunately, it rained. So Roger's always wanted to play hockey with some of the stars. He's a huge, huge fan. So this is the first year we'll be able to achieve that.
Well, I'll tell you something, Carl, because I'm an old-timer. I think it was either 2002 or 2000, because it was in Toronto here. He did play the ball hockey game once, and it was before he'd won Wimbledon. And, like, we all knew, and I remember watching him, because he was just young and frisky, and he scored two goals, and he was so quick on his feet and through the thing. And then after that, of course, he never played again because it was just too much of a risk. So I'm a bit surprised. I guess now it's late in his career. He's won 17 Grand Slams. Maybe he can just play and have some fun. So I think that's great news to hear he's going to play, and it should really be fun for everybody to watch him.
Yeah, and he's such a great guy, and we're very fortunate to have these top athletes like this that are very easy to work with, and they understand the sport and try to give back. He's doing a lot of things for our tournament with media, the ball hockey, the meet and greets with our premium series customers and our sponsors. Nadal is the same way, and Milos is the same way. So these players really support the Rogers Cup. They enjoy Toronto, the multicultural aspect of the city, and they've seen the city. A lot of these players, like Nadal and Roger, have seen the city grow over the last 10 years. So they really, really enjoy it.
I know that today Tennis Canada announced that Stefan Edberg is going into the Rogers Cup Hall of Fame. Will Boris Becker be here with Novak?
Boris isn't coming. Just Stefan is coming. And I'm not sure Michael Chang might be coming with Nishikori. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. But we're really excited about the announcement of Stefan Edberg. When we told him about it, he was really, really honored. And he said, no problem, I'll make time in my schedule to do it. So we look forward to seeing Stefan, which is a very, you know, big fan favorite here in Toronto and one of the greats of all time.
We can't end this without talking a little bit about doubles. Obviously, Daniel Nestor will be there with Dena Zimonjic. And obviously, I think as well, Jack Sock and Vasek. I don't even think they need a wild card, do they, Carl? They should get in the rankings?
No, I think they need a wild card.
Uh-huh.
Because of their rankings. I'm not sure if their singles ranks will get them in, but it's likely they'll need a wild card. But, you know, Daniel, you can't even talk about doubles without mentioning Daniel Nestor anywhere in the world. One of the greatest all-time, incredibly good guy. I'm glad he's playing with Zimonjic again, and they're having great results. You know, they had a great spring, not so good kind of late in the spring, but the hard courts, they're very strong, so we look forward to them doing well in the tournament. And, of course, it's really important for Vasek and Jack because they're ninth in the standings right now and they want to make their year-end championship. And if they do well for the rest of the year and they're in there, it would be amazing to have Daniel in the year-end championships, Vasek and Milos, and have three Canadians. We're probably the leading country. So really, really exciting doubles coming up.
And the doubles will get underway as early as Tuesday or Wednesday?
Well, we're going to do it as soon as possible. I mean, if we can get it on Monday, we'll get some matches on Monday, depending, you know, what we can do to facilitate getting some of the top players on the stadium court.
Well, it'll be an exciting Rogers Cup coming up. All the details, tickets, and information available at rogerscup.com, August 2nd to the 10th. Can't wait for this. A great event coming to our city.
Just a quickie, Carl. So Federer or Nadal, are they playing doubles, and who would they be playing with?
Federer's indicated that he might play doubles as well as Nadal. They didn't say who, but I would imagine the speculation on my part. I would imagine that Wawrinka would be Federer's partner. I'm not sure about who Rafa will play with. I did tell Federer's group, I said, why doesn't he play with Edberg? That would be kind of fun. And they said, no, that won't work. So.
I'd rather he played with Jason Spezza myself. But anyway, that's just me. Carl Hale is the tournament director of the Rogers Cup. Joining us, Carl, we can't wait for the Rogers Cup. We'll see you down there and very gracious with your time as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate it. See you there, guys.
Take care. Right. Carl Hale, tournament director of the Rogers Cup. That's hard not to get pumped about it this year, man. There's so many great things going on in tennis and what. It's a great event every year, but my goodness, with the men here this year, Tom, I tell you what, this could be the best Rogers Cup we've ever seen.
Well, hopefully it will be. I remember the last one was terrific. So, and you think about the, you know, Chang, Courier, Agassi, and Sampras. We thought that was the golden generation. Well, doesn't really compare to the guys now. And then, as you say, you mix in Milos as well. It's almost too good to be true.
Aces is brought to you by Tennis Canada, leading the growth of tennis in Canada. And as you can see, what a job they've done. Tom's mailbag is open. We got lots of questions for Tom. Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Roger at sportsnet590.ca. Drop an email and we'll read your question. Tom will answer your question in our last segment of the program. We also have a big four tickets for the Rogers Cup coming up. Four tickets. How'd you get four?
Got connections, Roger.
Boy, Tom, you must have connections. Four tickets, two pairs of tickets. We'll have that for you later in the show as well. Roger Lajoie, Tom Tebbit with you. Aces continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca.
This is Daniel Nestor, and you're listening to Aces on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you, Daniel, and we'll see him at the Rogers Cup here in Toronto. I'm Roger Lajoie, Tom Tebbit of Tennis Canada with me. It's Aces, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We've got a lot of questions for Tom. We'll get to that mailbag a little bit later. This segment of Aces is brought to you by National Bank. At National Bank, we know that you can't win without strong service. That's why we're proud to sponsor the 2014 Rogers Cup. Visit nbctennis.ca. That's nbctennis.ca. Nick Bollettieri, tell us about him, Tom. You had a chance to have a conversation with him.
Well, I mean, he's been involved with an amazing number of big names, from Andre Agassi to Monica Seles to Sharapova to Jim Courier. And, Roger, I'm looking at you now, and I'm not sure if you couldn't use a little bit more sun. So here's my first question to Nick Bollettieri. Nick Bollettieri, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much for letting me be on the show, and I'm sure it's an exciting week coming up with your two events.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Nick, you're one of the most bronzed people in tennis, and I just wondered, what's the secret of a perfect tan?
Perfect tan is having Italian skin.
And how about staying away from skin cancer?
I use my skin block, and my dermatologist says, Nick, I've been very lucky, but... using this sunblock is very important, but I believe having that Italian skin gives me some advantage.
Ah, geez, I don't have Italian skin. I feel badly. Nick, let's start out with how you got into the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy, just sort of the brief story of how it started and how you set up in Bradenton, Florida.
Well, I believe it started by a long time ago when I was director of tennis for the Rockefellers, and a gentleman walked by and he said, "You belong with children." And that man turned out to be Vince Lombardi that helped me get started in my first summer camps. And then I found by having summer camps and kids coming from all over the world and put them together, that I said to myself, wow. And then my military background of being a volunteer, being a paratrooper, that when you put people together that want to reach high levels of excellence, you have a better chance. And that started the whole thing. And that's where I started. By those ideas. And then when I left the Rockefeller Hotels after 17 years, I went and got a job in Longboat Key, Florida, at the Colony Beach Hotel. And we began having a tennis academy at the resort. The first place that they stayed was at my home, and then at Mr. DePalma's home. Then I bought a little club. And then finally, two gentlemen, Mr. Marks and Mr. Lufkin, lent me $2 million, and I built the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy, which then went to the IMG Academy, and then now is the William Morris Endeavor Company. So it's been a long story, but the whole thing about the academy is putting people together that want to reach high levels of excellence.
And what's the first thing you look for in a young player who has the potential to be a great player?
What they do without saying a word. Just look at them. How they attack the ball, their attitude, their athletic ability. That's what I look at, is what they do without any instruction at all.
What's the difference between developing young girls and developing young boys to become great players?
I believe that there is, it's a little bit more complicated to work with the girls. I think for most part, they're a little bit more emotional, and they don't adjust to adversity of maybe six girls showing up at the same time and working out a scenario where they can all practice. I believe also that girls somewhat like to work more on smaller groups and more so individually. The guys, I found it was much easier to work with them in a group.
People in Toronto, especially where we are right now, remember Carling Bassett. She got to be number 8 in the world. I think she went to your academy when she was about 12 years old in the early 1980s. What talent did you recognize in Carling at the beginning?
She was a fighter, and her daddy, John Bassett, was a strong supporter of me and helped me in so many ways to get the academy going. Carling was a girl who lit it up. She was fiery. She wouldn't give up. And it was her spunk that really got it to play so well.
Over your career, is there one player that really overachieved, the player that you never thought would become as good as he or she did?
I think there are two players. I think that Monica Seles is one, and I believe that Jim Curry was another. And then when you look at the skinny girl, Maria Sharapova, wasn't a great athlete, but those three had strong, strong mindsets, and that's what made them do so well. But also, Seles had her own style of play. She stood on the baseline, hit with both hands, and she wasn't a super athlete at all. If she had moved back behind the baseline, she never would be what she became. You get a Jimmy Curry, whose backhand was like hitting a baseball home run, but he was a workhorse. And you get Sharapova, who refused to lose. And then, of course, you get the other guys who had all the talent, the hand-and-eye coordination, the Agassiz, but then how do you deal with an Agassiz? And then, of course, I was very flattered and honored to work with the Williams sisters. And then to be able to work with my Tommy Haas and the Anna Kournikovas and the Boris Beckers and the Higgins. I've been a blessed guy to be able to work with all of these people, but the gift that God gave me is to be able to relate to them as an individual, not collectively.
This is a bit of a tricky question, Nick, but what's the difference between the way players are developed at the Nick Bollettieri or were developed at the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy and say that the USTA would develop their players?
Well, first of all, what we did, we paid for all of them. We gave them all full scholarships. And at that time, what we did, we put the best players together and let them fight it out at one location. And when you put the best players at one location, that's what happens. Now, the USTA, I believe right now, they're doing well with the girls, but we've got to go get the athletes now, the athletes at 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, and work with their coaches and also put up the money to develop those players because tennis is expensive. The young kids are going to baseball, basketball, football. You go down the street, it doesn't cost you a dime. Tennis is quite expensive to learn. So we have to defray those expenses, and we have to work with the coaches. And I believe that the USTA's 10 and under program is darn good to get these kids playing the game, that they can afford to get into the game. I also think that you have to work with the coaches that are working with these young kids. But if I got started again today, I would go out and get the big, strong athletes at 11, 12, 13, 14, work with the coaches, bring their parents. I'd pay for the whole thing. That's what I would do.
Nick, is there a difference between the European players who went to the Nick Bollettieri Tennis Academy and the players, say, from the United States or from Canada?
Well, I believe back a few years ago when we had them all together, they were very, very hungry. Right now in the United States, we have a lot of sports. We have a lot of activities. Perhaps in Europe and in China and in Japan and Serbia and Croatia and all, they have lesser activities. And they sort of say, this is my sort of my ticket to success. But you've got to be hungry. You've got to be hungry. You can't build success on excuses. You've got to go out and stop being a soldier. You've got to go out and be a warrior, man. You've got to get out in the pits, and you've got to fight, and you've got to find a way to win. And this is what I think is sort of missing today. We're sort of spoiled. But in defense of America, we also have education. because education still is the foundation of our country. And I also recommend that a lot of boys and girls think of a college scholarship and then pursue their tennis career from there. Remember, even though we have young Bouchard coming out now in Hallett and the Stevens girl, and we have a lot of young girls coming up for the first time, tennis is still physical. Be patient. Take your time. Unless you're a phenom, think of college for a couple of years. Physically, for a young boy like Boris Becker at 17 years old, to go out today and to play against the existing men that are playing today, physically he could not do it. It would be too much physically. And all of Canada, my gosh, you've got the old man still playing doubles there, and you've got Ronich, and you've got Bouchard. You guys are doing darn good up there, and I applaud you for what's happening up there, because these younger ones will inspire other ones to come out and play the game.
Nick, I guess Agassi's the player you're most associated with. What are you most proud of that you did in developing him into a superstar?
Not kick him out. That's what I did. Curry and all my boys said, kick this guy out. He broke all the rules, man, all the rules. The denim shorts, the lipstick, the rouge, the nail polish. He did it all. But something inside me say, keep this guy, Nick. He's going to be something special. And look what Andre is doing today. Giving opportunities to children of need. Andre, well done, my boy. And also, well done in marrying Steffi, because you're not going to beat her record. So say thank you to Steffi.
Is there a difference between the first generation of players you had, like Brian Gottfried, Jimmy Arias, Carling, Aaron Krickstein, Lisa Bonder, those players, and the kids that are coming in today?
Yes, I think there is a difference, because back in those days, it wasn't as physical as it is today. You know, Brian was a beautiful player. Jimmy with his big thundering forehand. But the game today is more of a game of bigger shots, bigger power, more physical. And that's what makes the game so different today. The equipment is different. The training is different. The mental part of the game is so different. And remember, many years ago, people used to go by the gym and thought it was out of bounds. Today, the game is built on the mental, the physical part, and techniques. And today, you cannot get away with a weakness.
Nick Bollettieri, you're 82 years old. Have you lost any enthusiasm for tennis?
Not a bit. In fact, I believe that the next mountain is ready to be climbed. I'm looking forward to staying with the academy that I got started, and I'm looking forward to helping people of need, and also to strike the word retirement out of people who have worked their life and think it's time to sit in the chair. And my book, BollettieriTheBook.com, is all about the mistakes I've made, what it takes to be a winner. The book is not about Nick. It's about how to make your life be more productive, how to greet your children, and how to give everything you have and find a way to be successful rather than making excuses.
Well, Nick, as a last question, I'd like to ask one that's a little bit on the funny side. You've been married 8 times. People must wonder, how did that happen? You must have a regular stock answer for that question. What's the answer?
Marry him, don't date him, baby. That was the name of the game. But I tell you what, if you do marry him, make sure that you sign where you get the alimony, that you don't have to pay it. That's why, by my book, I need to pay the next alimony payment. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for being here, Nick.
Okay, sir.
8 times? 8 times Nick Bollettieri has been married?
Well, Roger, you're married and I'm not, so maybe that was my mistake. Instead of dating him, I should have married him.
8 times. Yeah, nice advice. You know what? I'm getting that book for sure. Great conversation. Hey, he's got a unique voice. He's been around the game forever. That was an entertaining interview for sure. Tom Tebbit in conversation with Nick Bollettieri. Okay, I asked for all these questions. We got a ton. I'm going to try to get them all in this time, Tom. So you ready? You set?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't matter if you are. Here we go. Kevin says, what are your thoughts on Sloane Stephens' coaching situation? She's parted ways with her coach. Hearing rumors Thomas Hogstedt will be her new coach. Is her problem maturity or between the ears?
I think it's maturity. I know that I heard, sort of on the side that she wasn't treating Paul Anacone very well. Now, he's a guy who worked with Pete Sampras, is a very well-respected coach. I think she's going through a difficult phase trying to sort of grow up in the limelight, and she's a very great talent. So hopefully Hochstad will be able to help her. He's worked with Sharapova, among others, and he knows a lot about tennis.
Thank you, Kevin. Patrick says, why is there such a big drop-off of skill from the best 3, 4, 5 players in men's tennis to the rest of the pack? You see the same players in the big finals every tournament. Are they just that good, or what's the deal there?
I think they're that good, and they're probably skill-wise a little bit better. I've said this a million times. Years ago, I interviewed Chris Evert, and she said it's 80% mental. And I think that a lot of those players have maybe almost the same skills as the top guys, but the top guys are just there when they really need to be. So they have a psychological advantage as much as they have a skill advantage.
Richard emails in, given how well Venus Williams played in Wimbledon, do you think she might have one last deep run in a major, and defining deep run as semifinals or better?
I guess she might. She has Sjogren syndrome, which is a kind of debilitating condition, and she's had it for a while, but I think she deals with it better and better. The only thing is she never really knows when it's going to hit her, so that's always going to be tricky. She could play great one day and not so well the next.
Constantine emails in, who would you say are the top 3 hardcore players of all time in the men's game, and would you rank Djokovic among the all-time great hardcore players?
Well, I guess you got to look at who's won the U.S. Open the most, and you've got Sampras and Federer up there, so you'd have to have them, and you'd want to throw in probably Agassi as well, and Jimmy Connors was a pretty good hardcore player, so I guess, Federer would be right there, and as I say, Sampras as well. He won the U.S. Open 5 times.
You can never definitively say, but boy, it's always a great question. Thanks for it. Neeraj says, in a recent article, Tennis.com, Patrick McEnroe is quoted as saying, as players that receive the benefits of college training and coaching are better prepared for the physical, emotional, mental demands of the pro tour. Do you think more players should consider a year or 2 of college to have a smoother transition? That's a good question.
A little bit interesting now, because last week we had Zverev, the young 17-year-old, another 17-year-old, I think it's Bornik, doing well. So all of a sudden, we think that nobody can compete until they're 20, 23, 24 or something. But I think college is a good option. It's interesting that Milos and Vasek, who are our top two players, Milos has been as high as 6, Vasek 25, they didn't go the college route, and it's worked out for them. But I think that's always a little bit tricky. A couple of years, unless you're really an exception. And even Milos had hard demands on him. He had to make the top 100 by a certain age, or his parents were sending him to college.
Sonic emails in, given the brand of tennis that Djokovic and Nadal play, do you think they will age as gracefully as Federer have? In other words, can they be the number 3 player when they're 33 years old? That's a good question, too.
I don't see Rafa being the number 3 player when he's 33 years old. He's had too many problems, knees especially, and I think it'll be tough for him. A little bit different, hard to know with Djokovic. He has that sort of elastic kind of body, and he takes very good care of himself, but I really probably don't see either of them doing quite as well as Federer is. He's going to be August the 8th, so he'll be here, I think, for his birthday. He'll be 33.
Yep, specimens for sure. Charlotte says, what do you make of the puzzling court assignments at Roland Garros this year? Nadal entered the tournament as an 8-time champ and was relegated to one of the smaller courts. What's the give? What gives?
Well, I think they wanted him to play on the Philippe Chatrier because he was the defending champion. And I always tend to give the benefit of the doubt to the referee and to the people who do the scheduling. They know more than we do. And in that instance, as I recall, Rafa was definitely going to play his second match on Philippe Chatrier. And so if he had played on Chatrier for the first one, he would have played 2 in a row, and then maybe he wouldn't have been able to play the third. So there's all kinds of things that go into it. So I wouldn't be too harsh on them.
Try to be quick with these couple. Jason says, an American wants to know, American tennis looks like the women's are coming along. Any American men you can think of, or any American?
There's a young kid playing in the qualifying in Washington this week. Didn't make it through. I think he's 16. His father actually sort of handled tennis courts at a tennis sort of academy or school in the Washington area, but he lost out. So there's always going to be someone, but definitely the women look a lot better than the men do right now.
It's been a dark era for sure. Aaron says, how has Federer's new racket this year helped or hurt his game?
Well, I think it's helped. In one thing, it's given him a little more pop to his serve and gives him a little bit more flexibility and maybe not mishitting as much because he's got a larger face on the racket. So it's helped that way. And who knows? Maybe it's just helped him in his head. He's just a little more confident. But the main thing is, of course, his back is a lot better this year than it was last year.
Time for one more. Brian says, Jeannie Bouchard seems to crowd the baseline, seems so committed to taking everything so early in the rallies and off the serve. Have you seen a player since Monica Seles who has taken the ball so early, so consistently as Jeannie has?
Well, she's right up there with everybody for sure. That's a key to her game. I mean, she really bullies people around. It was always interesting when she beat Simona Halep at Wimbledon. Halep said that Jeannie seems so big. So I think she's standing a little bit closer to her and sort of scaring her a bit.
Okay, thanks for all your questions on Tom's mailbag. Time for our trivia. Trivia is brought to you by Tennis Canada, leading the growth of tennis in Canada. And we've got 4 tickets. So one question, but we'll draw two names tonight. Listen in. That email address, roger@sportsnet590.ca, roger@sportsnet590.ca. You know the answer to this question. Email in right away, and we'll choose two, and we will send you an email tomorrow, so you'll have the tickets in time for the Rogers Cup. Okay, Tom, what's the question?
And the grand prize, of course, is a Wilson Steam Racket, and all the entries who win will go in for that prize. The question today is, on Tuesday night, Milos Raonic served out the first pitch at the Blue Jays game. Now, this is a tricky one. Was that first serve, that serve sort of pitch, was it a ball or a strike? A ball or a strike?
A ball or a strike. Anybody who saw it knows the answer to that. You know the answer. Email roger@sportsnet590.ca, roger@sportsnet590.ca. Tom, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and we will see you and hear you at the Rogers Cup, my friend.
I look forward to it, Roger.
I look forward to it as well. Tom Tebbett, Roger Lajoie. Thanks to J.D. Bunkus and Derek Brandeo, our technical directors tonight. Nick Bolitari and Carl Hale joining us on the show. Roger@sportsnet590.ca. We will announce, we'll send the email, winning email out tonight. So email in if you know the answer to that question. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening to Aces here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.